And we're with the hypnotist and parapsychologist, Pete Haviland, as we talk about otherworldly things. You can join us. We'll keep the phone lines open on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, our very special guest, Pete Haviland, and your phone calls as well. Pete, as you get into this with the hypnosis, do you find that the people under hypnosis are more apt to, you know, snap back into reality or not?
It all depends on the person and if they are wanting to go under hypnosis, or if they have the, if they're on any type of medication that won't allow them to concentrate enough to go under, or if they have any issues mentally that won't allow them to focus to go under hypnosis, or if they have any, or if they have control issues that won't allow them to go under hypnosis, if they come out of hypnosis.
Okay, people who have reportedly seen apparitions walking around in their house, places like that.
Okay.
What do you say to them about what they may have seen?
I would ask them to describe what they've seen. I would ask them to, I would ask them then, if they have any history of any mediumship abilities. I would then also ask them to describe what they've seen, and if it is a family member, if it a family member, friend, or anybody that has been deceased recently, or even in the past, to see if it is anybody they know, and see if we could research it. If they can't identify it, then I might even put them under hypnosis to see if the event is there, to confirm it. If it is there, then it would warrant further investigation. If it's not there, then I would question it. Then I would probably go from there.
But do you doubt them generally?
No, their experience is their experience. I really never question their experience.
Okay,
the only thing that I would question is if they would want me to do the witness recall to do the verification. And they accept that, then they also accept what I find.
Do they accept it, or are they upset when they finally hear what you have to tell them?
I videotape what I find, and I show them what I find. So, what they see is what they tell me. So, how are they going to argue with themselves?
Well, that's true. Let's talk a little bit about exorcisms for a moment. I'm going to be doing that Monday night, but your thoughts on, the Catholic Church, they've made a commitment. They've got exorcists out there. They go to school. What do you think's going on there? It's tough, isn't it? It's a baffling one.
All I have, the Emily Rose case. What was it? The Michelle, Annalise Michelle. I always use this as an example.
All right.
Annalise Michelle, when she was seeing her religious hallucinations, she was diagnosed with epilepsy, and she was given medication. And she chose to stop taking her medication, and she died from not taking her medication, not because of any demonic influence. Had she taken her medication, she probably would have survived.
Mm-hmm.
When she was taking her medication, or had she taken her medication, she would have been fine. She was hallucinating. She was having issues with her epilepsy. What she was diagnosed with, and the doc, you know, the I believe they even stopped going to the doctor. At one point, they were taking her out of her bed and helping her pray when she couldn't even lift herself, and she was damaging her knees to pray.
But what are you saying, though?
I'm saying that under doctor's care, taking her medication, if they chose to go through the rite of exorcism under doctor's care with medication, if that's what they chose to do, you know, she probably would have survived that. But they chose to not be under doctor's care and stopped her medication, and that's why she died.
I guess they could have done both, right? The medication.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Now, another thing, the boy that the exorcist was written about.
Right. Who ended up going to St. Louis.
Correct. Did you know that one of the priests that was originally called in on that case was in contact with the Rhines originally, and they were having conversations and letters, which are in archive at the Rhine Center.
Yeah.
That anybody can go there and see. And it was discussed that with the Rhines, even the priest was stating that he thought that he was showing signs of RSPK. But before that, the Rhines could get down there, the exorcism had already taken place.
It was an amazing story. Still is.
Now, I'm not saying, and I'm not trying to take away anybody's belief system. I myself, you know, I'm a religious person. I believe that's a personal thing. But I do say, though, that there are things that, like, for instance, on possession, there are other things that it can be before it's a demon.
And there's a big difference between evil and being demonic.
There is. Yeah. Now, I can tell you, too, if you are really dealing with a haunting in a home, and if it is a legitimate case of a conscious mind that has survived death, and if you can prove it, and you are dealing with a personality of a person that has, you know, their mind that has survived death, then you're dealing also with that personality. And a personality of a person, each person is different. There are good people, there are bad people, there are idiots, whatever. Now, who's to say if in a house that you don't have a bad person in a home? That doesn't make it a demon or evil or anything else. That makes it an intelligent haunting that's in your home doing things in your home. That doesn't make it a demon.
No, it does not. That's true.
It all depends on how much time you want to take in the house to determine what it is, instead of jump on the demon train. And my problem with a lot of teams and a lot of folks is that they are so much into wanting to determine that it's a demon, mainly because there are a lot of teams out there now that watch a lot of stuff on TV that seems like that's the going thing right now, because it's what's that's what's out there now. That's what's selling. That's what's making money.
Yeah, it's hot right now.
And a lot of the new teams just don't have the background, and they just don't know how to deal with it, or they don't know who to call in, or They just, ego won't let them.
No, not at all. Let's take some calls here for you, Pete, as the hour is flying by. Let's go to Robert in Paradise, California to get things started here. Robert, go ahead.
Hey, Robert, how's it going?
It's going good today.
Great to hear from you.
Yeah, it's nice to hear from you, too. It's also nice to know that we connect on so many different levels, because I'm a very spiritual person, but I'm also...
Well, cool.
I like to keep grounded, but I'm also keeping my eyes and my ears awake because, you know, we have to be aware of the times. And but anyway, about, you know, the orange spheres and the yellow spheres people have been seeing in the skies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's quite a few canyons around this area and levees, and they separate the main arteries going in and out of Paradise down to Chico, going towards the Sacramento. Well, I had the joy of experiencing one time. And so anyway, I started looking again because I've seen several of them from very up close takeoff. So anyway, today I actually have a picture of what appears to be some kind of alien form putting together an apparatus.
You've got to get that picture to us, Robert, if you can. Just send it to George at coasttocoastam.com. We'll take a look at it.
Oh, you know, wow.
A lot of people have seen orbs like he has. And, you know, they could be plasma balls that are coming from the planet. They could be all kinds of things, but they could also be extraterrestrial related. Have you gone into that arena yet, the extraterrestrial route with your hypnosis?
Me?
Yeah. In terms of studying people.
Well, as far as like abductees?
Abductees, people who claim that they've seen things or things like that.
No, I haven't. And I have a good friend of mine. I think that you've probably talked to Daryl Sims.
Yes.
That does a lot of that. And I've been wanting to watch one of his sessions. He's also a hypnotherapist. I haven't had the opportunity to. I would like to, though.
I think you do a great job with that.
Yeah, I think so, too. He's got a technique that's very good. He's told me about it. I'd like to learn from them.
Are you open-minded, in your opinion?
I am. I'm actually very open-minded. Matter of fact, when the gentleman was just talking about the alien putting together apparatus, that really opened my eyes, because that sounded very interesting.
We got to get that picture.
I would love to see that.
We go now to first-time caller Tim, truck driving in Florida. Hey, Tim, thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Hey, how you doing, Tim?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine, sir.
I just had a question. I'm not really a religious person. I do go to church, or I don't go to church, but I do believe in God.
That's cool, man. We all do our own thing.
I try to treat people with kindness and help them out, but just don't go to church, but... But I just have a question. I'm a truck driver, and I've been driving for a long time, almost 20 years. But ever so often, you know, it's kind of like a voice in the back of your head, mm-hmm. or just a feeling that I get that I've got to pull over and stop.
Okay.
And, you know, after maybe 15 to 30 minutes, you know, it'll leave, and then I'll get back on the road. And usually... where I would have been at if I hadn't have stopped, there'll be some type of bad accident or something.
Wow.
Have you ever heard of anything like that before?
That could just be intuition. Since you've been doing the job for so long, that could just be intuition. Or your psychic self, since you've done the job for so long, you just know how you are internally.
Incredible clairvoyancy.
Yeah, could be that.
I mean,
could be that.
We're there. I mean, as you look at the, let's say, the paranormal in general, with the various different aspects, Pete. I mean, you're open-minded, as we're saying, to the possibility that some of these are indeed real, that some of these different aspects do exist, correct?
Correct. To even go farther than that, I've experienced a lot myself. I have been on cases of RSPK. Like I mentioned before, I have been bitten. I have had objects thrown at me. I have been hit in the stomach by a person that was having some RSPK issues.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen ghosts. It's not that I haven't experienced things myself, but I, on the other side of it, I have to be skeptical myself, because, you know, if you walk in on a case and you believe everything that's going on, then what are you going to do for your client when you believe everything that's going on? You're there because they have an issue. So if they're having that issue and you're yesing them to death, how do you draw a conclusion for them?
Good point. This recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis.
Correct.
How do you explain it?
That is if a person has had a traumatic event or an issue that has been unresolved, like through counseling, and through a person or a sensation which triggers that event subconsciously, it plays into their environment and causes physical phenomena, which looks like haunting phenomena. Sometimes it can even make that event, especially if it's a traumatic event, maybe even replay upon themselves. I've even had a client that was raped, and the traumatic event was triggered in their environment and have the scratches show up on themselves, and the scratches that showed back up on themselves, were in the area of where some of where the rape had occurred.
Huh.
Now, when you have things in the environment show up, like for instance, like if you have a fire breakout, fire is a if you dream about fire, it is it's like for anger, okay? Water is for sadness or depression. If you have water showing up
in your dream state.
In a dream state. Now that's what that means. Okay? Now if it is appearing as an RSPK event, okay, that's what it means. It's the equivalency of what it means in a dream.
I want to get your take on the devil, Pete, when we come back. Plus, we'll take final phone calls with you on Coast to Coast AM. Well, how would you like to watch our video program, 10 Days Free? It's called Beyond Belief. Great topics, superb guests, and just go take a look at it. You get 10 days to play around with it and look at all the other things that are available on video. Simply go to beyondbelief.com. That's the website, beyondbelief.com. And we're with Pete Haviland. Pete, are you glad that you're skeptical somewhat?
Yes, I am. I feel that you have to be dealing with the study that this is, because if you're not, then agreeing with everything that goes on, you're not progressing the field forward. You're keeping it in a stagnant state.
Now, when you investigate,
Yes.
I guess you could call it science, right?
Yeah, I do.
So science is looking at the paranormal, coming up with its own conclusions about what may or may not be on the other side.
But you know, when I look at this, I don't put religion into it. And that's one of the things that I think some folks get caught up into is placing religion into it. Now, I'm not trying to say one thing or another, but I don't consider it a religious thing.
No, well, you know, I don't either.
And I am, like I said, in no way an atheist, and I'm not saying to treat, and I'm not trying to say that other people should be that way. I'm just saying I don't look at it as a religious thing.
What do you think about the devil? Does it exist?
You know,
evil exists. We know that. We talked about that.
You know, and this isn't skirting it, okay?
I know.
So please understand that.
Okay.
I think that there is enough negativity in the world that placing any power towards something that is that negative is not worth my time. If that makes any sense to you. So I try to concentrate on anything that is positive, and I go with that. I don't give it any credit. I don't give it any credit.
Back to the phones. First time caller John is in Lodi, California. Hey John, thanks for calling.
Hey, George. First time I've got in, long time listener.
There you go.
I have a question for your guest tonight.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Great. Pete, right?
Yes, sir. How you doing this evening?
Wonderful. Hey, I've got my own explanation about it, but I want to get yours in light of what you just said.
Sure. I'll try to do my best.
Give you a minute to you can answer my question, and then let me respond if you don't mind. What do you think demons are, and where did they originate from?
What do I think they are?
Who are they, and where did they originate?
You sound a little muffled there on that.
No, I'm not muffled. I just don't really understand the question. I mean, I don't really understand really what the question is. I mean,
what is a demon, and where did it originate from?
Well, I mean, I'm not a theologian.
I understand that.
I'm not a demonologist.
Religion played into it.
No, I'm not a demonologist either. So, I mean, I don't feel really qualified to answer your question. I'm not trying to skirt it. I just don't really know how to answer the question for you, sir.
I would guess, Pete, you know, after talking to you for a couple hours, that you don't believe in demons. So you'd probably just simply have to say they don't exist.
No, what I'm trying to tell you is, sir, is that I'm not a theologian and I'm not a demonologist, so I really don't feel qualified to tell you what they are and where they come from. I'm not going to lie to you. I just don't feel qualified to answer your question.
Well, let me try to see if I can rephrase his question to you.
You can rephrase it all you want, sir.
You don't have to call me, sir. Just call me George. Simple.
The answer's not going to change, sir. I deal with parapsychology, and I deal as a hypnotherapist.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that you don't deny it means that you think maybe it's possible.
Well, you know, I do assessments for a Catholic priest as far as if a person believes they're possessed. The only thing that I deal with on that aspect of it is that when I go in and I look at anything that it could possibly be as far as a paranormal aspect of it. Now, when I go in there, I'm not saying that I don't disbelieve what the experience is. My part of it is that when the issue occurs, the priest is looking to start his case file, And when he starts his case file, he needs to have these things looked at. So what I'm doing is I'm starting his case file by looking at everything that it could possibly be or not before I hand it over to him. My part of it is not to have a thought of it either way. I'm just looking at what it could possibly be or not. I'm not there to make a judgment.
I mean, if he had asked me the question he was trying to ask you, I would have said almost the same thing. I don't know what they are, and I don't know where they come from.
Yeah, I'm just being honest with you. I'm just being honest with you, caller. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not qualified.
Yet, I guess, can we assume, Pete, that there's something out there that is causing very strange things with people, with events? We may not know what it is, but something's very strange out there.
I mean, there are possible preternatural occurrences. And when those things happen, I will be the first to say that when those occurrences happen, I'll be the first to say, I don't know what the heck happened.
Yeah.
I mean,
are you baffled? Like a lot of us are.
If something happens that I don't know how to answer, if I've made my calls to consult and they don't know what it is, and if I have a case that I've assessed for father, and I've consulted for him, and if he comes up that he's telling me that it's preternatural, I'll admit to it. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, one way or another. I mean, why would I do that? What am I going to gain from that?
Let's go out to Jeff. Jeff is truck driving in Indiana, east of the Rockies. Hey, Jeff, go ahead. You're on with Pete Haviland.
Hi. I'm just kind of curious. Do you believe in ghosts?
I'm sorry?
Do you believe in ghosts, Pete?
Do I believe in ghosts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen ghosts. To have a belief in ghosts is I believe in God. I don't believe in ghosts. I've seen ghosts. I've experienced ghosts. I don't believe in ghosts. I've experienced them. But to believe in them, no, I don't believe in them. Just in the word in general, if that makes sense. But no, I've experienced them. I know what I've experienced. I know what I experienced happened, if that makes sense.
Let's assume for a moment that whatever
But the terminology of belief in a ghost, no, I don't believe in the terminology, no.
What have you seen, though? What would you say you have seen?
Oh, when I was working out in Galveston in a 1900 storm house, I turned a corner and I saw the ghost of a little boy that looked ashen white, and his face was sunken in like he'd been dead a while. I saw that. I saw my the ghost of my grandfather.
Right.
I've seen the ghost of a woman in a home I could see through. I've experienced those. I know that those were real. But to believe in ghosts, I mean, like I said, it's to me, it's a terminology thing.
Okay, but here's my point.
Yeah.
If you believe they were real, what you saw,
mm-hmm.
how would you categorize it? What definition would you place?
I experienced them. I experienced them. It was an experience that I had.
I know, but what would you say it was?
I would say that I saw a ghost.
I thought you said you don't believe in ghosts.
We're talking apples and apples here. I'm talking about believing in a ghost. It's the word believe.
Well, you're telling me that you think. I'm not trying to give you a hard time.
But you're telling me that you
believe you saw two ghosts. All right, the little boy and your grandfather.
George, I'm just saying it's the word believe.
All right, well, let's change it. You put a different word in there.
Experienced. I'm saying I experienced.
So you experienced.
Yeah, I experienced those. Yeah, it's the word believe for me.
You'd call it, it would be unusual, right? These things don't happen every day.
Correct. Correct.
But if somebody were to try to pin you down and say, what is it, Pete? What is it?
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of us can give that answer.
Right.
And I assume you can't give that answer. Somebody wants to pin you down and say, what did you see?
Mm-hmm.
What do you say?
I would say I saw a ghost. But when asking me, do I believe in them? I don't believe in them, but I experience, you know, I saw them. I believe, I wouldn't say I believe in them. I experienced them. I saw them, but I don't believe.
Well, let me rephrase it. The fact that you saw them,
mm-hmm.
does that mean that they exist in your mind?
Yeah. I mean, under certain circumstances, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
EVP sounds, electronic voice phenomena. Have you ever had any experience in that area?
Yeah, I have.
What do you think they are?
I think that some of them are. I think that some of them are real. The ones that are blatant. There's a lot of them that are on the net that tend to be very, very overprocessed. That give audio cues that if you were to listen to them, like, you know, for instance, just to give an example, if they have something on there that's telling you that it says Bob goes to the store, and they ask you, you know, what do you think it is? And it says Bob goes to the store. Well, now you have an audio cue, so you can't even make your mind up that it says Bob goes to the store because it's already there.
I'm sure there's a lot of fraud involved in that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And when you overprocess it to the point that it sounds like a manic robot, I mean, it's really hard to tell exactly what it is. And you know, plus also it's real hard to get a name, date, or an event or a place to do research on them. And, you know, even to do research on them. And if you are dealing with something that is real and to verify, and if you're dealing with, probably like one or two words, maybe a sentence. And it's just real hard. I mean, some of it's hard, hard to verify. On the rare occasion, if you can, it's hard to get vocal patterns down to verify who it is, what it is. Sometimes when people go into houses, it's usually really noisy. I don't know. Sometimes it's real iffy. Sometimes it just really is.
See, I think all of this is just a process of living. I think it, you know, when the universe was formed, you believe in God, I believe in God, that all of this is probably very natural. It exists. It's out there. It's part of the whole package, and we may never get an answer for it.
You know, some of it, too, is that I don't know if you're familiar with Ted Sirius, but he was a gentleman back in the early 70s that could put thought forms on Polaroid film.
Okay.
And there's a theory that if you could put thought forms on film, can you put thought forms, like what you're thinking on audio tape? Because if you could put pictures of what you're thinking onto film, can you put it on audio tape?
Right. And have voice on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. The mind is powerful. It could do a lot of different things.
You can't. Because we don't use all of our brain.
No. No, we don't. Let's go to Mike in Miami, Florida. Get you in here, Michael. Go ahead.
How you doing, Michael?
What's going on?
Good.
Mike. I love the show, man. I love the show. You know what? This is so smooth. I love it. You can be calm. Mr. Nori is very cool with it. We all agree that some things that we can't understand what it is. And, you know, we can just, you know, regardless of whether it's the word believe or not, no one's, that the good thing about Coast to Coast, we're not pinned down as listeners. We just basically share. It's like a melting pot. You know, it's not, and Mr. Nori is not going to cater to everything, but he's going to be neutral. That's why I love Coast to Coast. So it's not about belief. Don't have to breathe heavy and if it's believing. We basically talk because at the end of the day, Mr. Nori and Coast to Coast promises us whatever happens, if it's the last day on earth, he promises us that he's going to be on the air.
Yeah,
and he said, you know, he could choose to go on a yacht somewhere, but he tells us that he's going to be on the air, giving us his devotion, and that's about Coast to Coast. So you don't have to be worried. You just calm down your breathing and let's live as a family. Thanks, man.
All right. That's a nice guy. He's a good guy. So you go back to work on Monday and you start hypnotizing people again. I guess, Pete, you get them from all walks of life. I mean, as we were talking about, children's issues, stress, weight loss, some are very strange and unusual. Do you ever get to a point where you will refer somebody to a psychiatrist where you really think there's something wrong here?
Yes, I do, actually. I had a gentleman that came in and wanted to do addictions recovery, and he was an alcoholic, and he had some really deep-seated issues that I can't really discuss, but there were issues that I really couldn't deal with because I'm not a licensed practicing counselor. And I didn't feel comfortable working with him on them because it was more than I could deal with, and I referred him to a psychologist.
Well, that's probably pretty smart to do. Pete, would you give us your website? People want to track you down.
Yeah, it's redoakhypnosis.com and lsspi.org.
Okay, and we've got those linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Appreciate you spending a couple hours with us talking about that in a more of a scientific plane, to be sure. I'm going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. We've got a couple hours to go now of open lines. I know lots of you have been on hold, and you can stay on topic with this too if you want. Emailing me at george@coasttocoastam.com is very easy. And also like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter.